We have enjoyed for so many years now leading Commotion and watching, you wouldn't call them generations, but I want to say it, several generations, several different years of young people growing up and coming through Commotion and being able to take teenagers and push them until they do something awesome. And they go, oh, I can do something awesome. And what's fascinating over the course of each year, you know, every group is different. There's different chemistry. It's a different recipe. Every fall when we start and we have different kind of kids and personalities and talents represented. And then by the end of the year, you know, it sort of all works out. And then you say, hey, we're a team, you know, and sometimes we're yelling at them and we're frustrated with them, and, you know, but you know, it's like having kids. So, anyway, we love these kids and Commotion is so much fun and it's good for us. I hope it's good for them. I'm just going to speak briefly this morning. I really am. I was joking about 5-minute sermons. That would be terrible. Good long sermons. Those are good sermons, right? I'm just going to speak for a few minutes to finish things up this morning. And I'm going to issue a challenge. I'm going to get personal. Okay. Here eventually. But I want to ask the question before it began, or right here at the outset. And the question is this. How many of you were in church as a child or a teenager? Would you please raise your hand if you were in church as a child or teenager? Okay. Yes, of course you were. That's good. That's a lot of us. Now I want you to think about this. I want you to think about specific people. I want you to think about the people who, when you were young, spoke the word of God to you. When you were that young person, as a child or a teenager in church. I hope you had an experience like that, but I want you to think about them right now. Are you thinking? Okay. And I want you to have them in your mind and recall their names if you can. There's also the chance that, you know, you weren't in church as a young person, but found your way there as an adult. I suspect that there were also people that were in your life when you started coming to church as an adult who spoke the word of God to you, who led you to Christ. And I want you to think, if that applies to you, I want you to think about their name or names right now, okay? So, think about that. Who was the person who spoke true, Jesus-loving, disciple-making words into your life? And now, on the count of three, I want you to say out loud their name or names. For some of you, it might be two or three, okay? And that's okay. You go ahead and say them. But we're going to say those names out loud on the count of three. Are you ready? Okay. One, two, three. Oh, I hear Ralph. Okay, great. Now, I remember I didn't say anything, but that's because I get to say it now. I remember every one of my teachers. I remember every one of those spiritual leaders that I had when I was growing up that fed me this, you know, my little soul that I didn't know was hungry, but was. I remember them. They fed my needy heart. They were faithful conduits that God used through the Holy Spirit to speak words to me that led me to Christ, that helped me to grow. Some of them had a long influence on my life over a period of years. Some of them maybe I only had brief or periodic contact with, but it was important and it was meaningful and it was life-changing for me. They spoke the words of God to me and they lived it. And frankly, I owe who I am today, all the good parts, to those people. Because, you know, they were in a way guardrails for me as I sort of bounced down the road of life and they'd speak a word into my life and sort of recenter me on Christ and point me to the Lord. And I owe who I am to those people. And I can see their names in my mind. I'll tell them to you. Ron, in whose class at the United Methodist Church I learned my first memory verse. Acts 2:38. Other ones, Carol, Phil, Russ, Maridel, Dick, Judy, Dell, Eldon Nunnemaker, Barbara Ann, a man named Forrest, I kid you not, okay, not Forrest Gump. But I needed these people, and I needed my local church. I realize it now. I didn't have a clue then, but I'm so glad that those people at some point in my life said, I will teach, I will lead, I will speak, I will volunteer, I will talk to that kid. That role is so indispensable. And like I said, I thank God for those people. They're the people that I imitate. I try to model my faith after these folks. Now our church, right here, our church is full of heroes. It really is. And they're in the building this morning. They're teaching class. They're working with kids. They taught during Sunday school a little while ago. They are giving. They're giving of themselves. I honor you. And maybe you're have the blessing of being in service this morning, and you're one of those teachers. I honor you. You're the best. One of you is the best. And you've taught faithfully for years, or maybe you've just started. But you give, and you give faithfully. And you need to know that you're building this church. And you are making saints. That's so cool. Some of you called his name. Our church has had some heroes that left a legacy. Ralph. Okay? Ralph Mitchell. I mentioned Eldon's name. Eldon Nunnemaker. You know, we have such a rich history of people who gave sacrificially for so long. And I don't know that, you know, I was never in a class that Eldon taught, but I knew that Eldon loved me. At whatever age I was, and I had him tell me, I've had him tell me before that just how much he loves these young people. You know, the little ones that we had back then. And that's so cool just to know that, you know, this old man with gray hair thinks that I'm awesome. I want to read a couple scriptures to you. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 7. Says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Now in school they tell you not to copy, but Bible right here says that you ought to imitate people that are worth imitating. And then in Romans, Paul says this in the first chapter. He says, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, now listen, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So within God's family, there needs to be imitating going on. There really should. There should be imitating going on, mutual encouragement, and there should be people worth imitating. And a lot of you are it. Two things. We've got to consider whether our faith is worth imitating, okay? Here's one challenge. Is your faith worth imitating? It doesn't have to be much to be worth imitating for a young person or for a child. Is your faith, maybe not your face, worth imitating? I would not fall into that category. Is your faith worth imitating? And we've got to be, the second thing is we've got to be pouring our life into someone else. Because what use are you then, to be very blunt? If you're not pouring your life into someone else, then what use is your life? I hope that doesn't sound too derogatory, but it is our purpose as believers to be mutually encouraging one another. And let me just say, ask and then say, what example are you setting? In what way are you leading here? We talk about people who have legacy. We named people who for us are heroes. Well, that's, you can have that legacy. You can be a person whose name is remembered by someone else. Just a normal person like you, if you feel really normal, okay? I do a lot of things. I'm exceedingly average at pretty much everything I do, okay? We're all pretty normal, all right? But you can have a legacy just because you pour your life and your love into someone younger. And here's where I really get personal. What are you contributing to the life of young people in this church? In this family right here? What part are you playing? These kids need to remember you. You know, we had the front row full of little ones here for a little while before Jack took them out. Jack's a faithful worker. They need to remember you as someone who always loved them. They need to know you know their names. Don't hold back from that. We have before us such a golden opportunity. We do. And I'm speaking to adults now. These young people, these little ones, they need to hear your words. They need to know that you know their names. They need what you have to give. You don't have to be gifted. Your heart just has to be right. Some people shy away from teaching a class or helping out in Royal Rangers or youth group or one of our Wednesday night programs. They just say, well, I don't have what it takes. Yes, you do. You've got, you're breathing and you have a love for them, and that's where it starts. Okay. So don't, you can toss that excuse out the door because it doesn't work. They just need you there, and you being there tells them that you care. So is this a pitch? Yes, it is. It really is. It's a pitch from me to you saying, we have places and spaces in this church and Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, and other times that need to be filled, frankly. There's a small group of people that do a lot of work. And if you ask me, the more the merrier, okay? And there are opportunities out here. I'm not asking you to come and preach every Wednesday night, but, you know, thank you, Larry. This singer raised me, got me all messed up. I don't know where Larry is right now, but thank you, Larry, for helping me out the last two Wednesdays when I couldn't be here. And to all the volunteers who come and hang out with the kids, you guys who love our teenagers, there are places and spaces that need to be filled, right? And this is also a scriptural call. It's not just me up here begging for workers. But this is how the church works. This is biblical. It's through relationships and leadership. And maybe that word leadership sounds a little too daunting. But in this case, it simply means giving your time and your love to some people that are younger than you. So I'm asking for your help. I am. And not just for myself, but on behalf of this church as a whole for the health and for the thriving of Jefferson Assembly of God. This is a little awkward because right now I really need to find my phone because I have a scripture pulled up on it that I want to read to you in just a second. Oh, I have messages from people. Let me check those real quick. No, I'm kidding. Okay. First, I'll reiterate. Consider those who spoke the word of God to you when you were young, when you were growing in Christ, when you were learning about him. Maybe you weren't quite there. Consider those people. Imitate them. And then let us put our love into action. Learn a name. Teach a class once a month. Hang out. And call me if the Lord is bugging you about this. We'll find a place where you can bless somebody. Ephesians 4 says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. If you're a believer here in this church today, you are a part of the body. Bodies move, unless they're dead. This is not dead. Okay? So you move, you do, you act. Joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So that's how it's supposed to go. Not kidding, you call me. We'll find a place for you to bless somebody. Let's stand and close in prayer, committing our lives to the Lord, surrendering to his service. Father, that's what we do right now. We say that we surrender ourselves to you in whatever way that you would have us to serve, the people you'd have us to love and to bless, bring them to mind. I pray that the Holy Spirit would lead us into places of opportunity and service. I pray that you would cause this body right here, this church, this family to grow up into him who is the head, into Christ, so we can be mature and complete. Father, be gracious to us and merciful. Continue to honor your word here in this place, to keep us where you want us. Let this be a gospel-centered church. Let us be gospel-believing and speaking people. And help us to love one another in response to your love for us. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.